Welcome to Encounters in the EAP Classroom, a podcast that reflects upon different experiences in the higher education English language classroom and provides thoughtful suggestions for both learners and instructors. I'm your host, Laura McNabb. Hi. And welcome. Thank you for joining me today. I so much appreciate that you've taken time to be here to focus on this topic, and I'm always happy to hear your thoughts and ideas. Let's delve into reading today and how this skill pertains to EAP classes and assisting towards a student's mediation skills. In the macro structures laid out by CEFR in 2018, receptive skills, including reading, are listed first and mediation skills are listed last. Without first having information, there is nothing to mediate. And yet for many EAP students, reading is often perceived to be onerous and avoided. How can we get students to embrace extensive and intensive reading? How can they be motivated to read more? And how can they be guided to read beyond the bare necessity for the assignment? Personally, I love reading. I have been reading always. I remember back in grade 3 and 4 reading Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys series. I can still feel those blue hardcover books in my hands. And as I say this, I become acutely aware of some key factors that made reading fully appealing. I can see the bus seat, and I was first to get on the bus, so I got to sit next to the window. I could glance outside and look at the passing scenery and then back to my book. I was scooched down on the seat so there was no attention and no one was bugging me. My seatmate was another avid reader and she was 1 grade older than me, so she often was reading the same series but maybe a bit ahead of me. I would check her titles to see what I should read next. When she got on, we would nod hello, then she opened her book, and that's how we stayed for the rest of the way to school. And reading was this glorious method of traveling to new places, hanging out with these people, and having new experiences. And reading is still a place of journey and discovering for me. Now, yes, I realize that most academic reading, textbooks and research articles, may not be the same and hold the same excitement as a novel. However, I constantly tell my students there is still a message, there's still a story. And I admit that reading is not a straightforward skill to teach or to learn. When you read about the brain process of reading about reading, it is amazing to me how much is happening. It's essentially a full brain operation with many parts involved. I did come across a research article written by Susanna Quelju in 2015 for the PASAA Journal, Volume 50, that explained the neurobiology of reading in a manner that was really clear for me. So this might be something that is interesting and useful to you. I have also found that talking to elementary school teachers is helpful, as they are involved in the early stages of students learning to read. And I recognize from this that reading is hard. However, working with higher education students, I'm not so worried anymore about learning to read morphemes and phonemes, but I am concerned with them being able to see the syntactic semantic process that's bringing reading comprehension. And with reading comprehension, then we can begin to mediate the information from the text into other communication. So then, not only are students watching for the story of the text, but they're also looking for how the story in the text is going to fit into their own story. And that is something that has to exist, right? There needs to be a story that the student is constructing or co-constructing and is in need of discovering and understanding more information from other writers in order to add to their own stories. And that means that students are going to need to read a lot. And so one way that many of us have used to get students to read is reading quizzes. Now, getting students to read at university level is not a new struggle. It's not a strange struggle. Studies have been done by people like Mary Heft. She did something and published in 2012 researching students' reading compliance. And so there were two main camps of professor approach. So the professors that said it's the students' responsibility, they need to take charge of their own reading. And then there were the professors who desired to have a more engaged and active classroom. And they wanted to persuade students to read, and they would give reading quizzes and use other mechanisms to motivate the students. From the study, though, the interesting thing that came out of it was not so much was it high compliance or low, but the fact that even with the high compliance, the reading comprehension level was still low. So even if 75% of the students read the text, only 40% or so understood it. And when they were asked about the low understanding, the common response was the student had only skimmed rather than actually reading carefully, reading intensively. And this is a problem if you think about mediation and using the text. If students don't understand what they're reading, and even if they're compliant and we've motivated them with quizzes to read, but they still don't know what they're reading, then we're still going to be unable to progress into mediation. Because it's hard to read to find more knowledge to add to a story, and then if you don't have a story. So you can see where this is starting to get more difficult. In EAP classes, we often see more scaffolding approaches that also can be helpful. The first level of the scaffold is to help the students build general knowledge of the topic, reading to get vocabulary, to get some basic ideas, to find a few opinions. And there's less focus on what does the student think, what is your story, but mostly just build a foundation, build a solid start for it. That would be the first place. And often there are vocabulary lists and there are reading comprehension quizzes that can help. And in a discussion at this level, or if the students perhaps might write an essay, essentially they're reproducing what they've learned, right? They're simply repeating it. And the teacher's checking, okay, did they understand? Did they know what it is? Yes, okay, what have they taken in? And this is where quizzes and discussions are helpful. Then we come to the second level, where we now ask students to work with each other and start to construct or co-construct meaning. You've read this text, you understand what the text is, so now how does this connect to your own opinions, your own ideas? Beginning to give students an explicit purpose to learn more or to apply this learning. And working together with each other. Now, it's a discussion that is not the most interesting in my opinion, but for the purposes of helping students develop their reading, I think it is a helpful stage. And then moving into that third stage where, okay, now we are actually combining and collaborating to have an extensive understanding. Each of us has a perspective, each student has their ideas, we've put them together, we've perhaps added, and we've got this fully integrated construction. The students in the process are hopefully understanding how the reading was working towards this, that they're building their own story slowly, step by step, through their own construction, or most likely in co-construction with classmates. So these three levels that a teacher can work through, and often we do, where we start with a text and then we understand the text, then we think about how this text connects to anything else we know, and then we think about how this text can be applied. You can see how we're moving up Bloom's taxonomy. But we often still have situations, or at least I do, where even though we've scaffolded and we've moved through these steps, I still get students essentially performing. It's a very performative, it's still very assessment oriented, and there is no great investment in having a story. And yes, we can think about, okay, maybe it's the topic, they don't like the topic. When I think back to the Nancy Drew and Hardy Boy series that I started reading, each book had a mystery that started and finished. But as I worked through the series, I got to know more things. And as I worked with Nancy, as I read her story and thought about how she did it, and with each book, not only was Nancy solving mysteries, but so was I. And I was learning all these different things. So I was also constructing my own database of knowledge. And it was awesome then that my seatmate was reading the series, another classmate from my own grade was reading the series, and we could talk together, sharing with each other. And students do this all the time in their informal communications about daily life. They mediate, they share, they co-construct, they negotiate a story around perhaps a video game or perhaps shopping items. In the classroom as well, I noticed that EAP students do work together, but it's done very transactionally. It's very much translating and checking, and checking, okay, do I have the correct interpretation? Because they're still thinking from the perspective of a test. They're still thinking from the taxonomy level of, do I know what it means? Can I define it? Can I describe it? Students in EAP classes are learning a new approach to English, but they're also learning a new approach then as well to reading and this whole idea of communicative use of reading, which involves mediation, using the reading, mediating it into a communicative situation. Then that makes me think, maybe rather than worrying about getting students to read a lot, we need to first help students answer this question. Why are you reading? And most students, I think, will probably say, well, I'm reading because of this assignment and to get a grade. I need to add a couple of citations to my essay to get a grade. And there may often be little conscious awareness of intending to add this information to the wider scope of their own story. Now, thinking about this, I actually had a visual of every bad Western movie I've ever watched, where the good guy wanders into town and confronts the bad guys. He sits there alone in the street on his horse, and the bad guys are laughing at him, saying, oh, you think you're gonna win by yourself? And then the good guy makes some kind of gesture, and suddenly people start emerging from the side streets and coming from behind and behind the bush. And suddenly the good guy has a whole group of people on horseback right behind him. And the bad guys are like, oh, and they realize that they're outnumbered. Now, we know that that's happening because we watched in the scene before that where the good guy went around putting together this group of people, putting together the team and saying, okay, you know, you, come with me, persuading and getting them all to show up together to take on the bad guy. Students need to build their own dream teams. And I would suggest that there are two dream teams. So the first dream team is the reading. So mediation isn't just about expanding the topic. It's about a team of voices. And you mediate not just one researcher, but we mediate a few researchers, because then they support each other's ideas, which then support the students' ideas. And that's the whole purpose behind the scaffolding ideas that I mentioned, getting the student beginning to work on this story. But the idea is that you're putting together a team, because it's a team of voices, mediated voices into the essay or into the presentation of the student that is going to bring strength. And even just like in the basketball team where the student thinks, okay, I've got this idea. Now I read this person. Okay, this connects. I'm adding it. And that connects to this person that I've read, which I'm adding. And they can start to see how these different texts might bounce off each other, passing ideas back and forth. And slowly, I am building my team, because this person's idea connects to this person's idea, and they both support my idea. Now, a lot of students comment that reading is long and boring. and extensive and intensive reading. So extensive, obviously, a lot of text. And if we're reading intensively, yeah, it can get long. And I think, though, that that happens also when the student is kind of outside of the situation. But if you bring them into it, so if this is my team, like just like I felt like I was partnering with Nancy Drew, so if this is my team that I'm putting together, and that brought me to come up with the idea of the stat sheet, thinking about people who, what is it called? Fantasy teams, fantasy football, where people put together their dream teams. Like, I'm going to have this person as the quarterback, and this is going to be my receiver, and, you know, my defensive line. And you get to pick all of these different people because you know their stats. So if I'm creating an idea, or my students rather are creating an idea using texts, they could have an Excel sheet that has the name of the writer, the idea, the details. That's the first dream team, the team that the student finds by reading. Now, the second dream team I would suggest is classmates. So rather than competing with each other, we come together, we talk together, we share. And if you've listened to my podcast about discussions, again, it's a team. So now I come into the discussion with my classmates to share, and they have their dream teams from reading. I have my dream team. We share with each other. We support our sharing with our mediated dream teams. And now that's mediating with another classmate's ideas. And you can see how this suddenly becomes a super dream team. Which brings me, though, to the space that I think is the most important, and that is you have to go do something with it. Think about the dream teams in sports. They don't just get together and practice. Go to a competition. You go take on a challenge. So when students have gone to all this work to construct and co-construct their stories and bring in these team players, they need to be able to communicate. And this is often where the EAP class stops short. Students write an essay or they give a presentation. It's for their professor. They get a grade. Boom, it's done. So I think as EAP teachers, we need to take all the hard work and the learning from reading and that mediation and take it somewhere. So maybe after we grade the essays, we put them together, we compile them into some kind of journal, or maybe we take the presentations and we create some kind of wider campus or community event. But something needs to go beyond this confines that we've created around a reading class. Jesse Stommel from the United States speaks of ungrading. He is talking a lot about the learning that needs to happen rather than the focus always on the grades. And if you go to his website, which I will share with you, you can read more about his ideas. And Benjamin Taiyuan Chan from Hong Kong also talks about the shifts in perspective that are needed in EAP classes, teaching these four skills, including reading. And you can find his ideas on the THE campus, and I'll leave that link for you as well. Reading is learning. Learning is active. And active is what we want from our students. So we need to make the reading active. Thank you for joining today. Encounters in the EAP Classroom is written, hosted, and produced by Laura McNabb. You can learn more about Laura and her teaching at her website, www.windowsoflife.com. If you have teaching ideas or would like to collaborate with Laura, she would love to hear from you. See you next time!